As they gather, let me introduce our second lesson. Today on Pentecost, as Amy shared, we recount the day when the disciples received the Holy Spirit after Jesus had been taken out. And they were blessed to speak in many languages. I invite you to follow along in your bulletin as we speak in many languages. I want also to note there is a small piece of the lesson that is not in your bulletin at the end that I will share as well. And in addition, I'll be offering an introduction. These words precede those in your bulletin. Listen for the word of God as it comes to us from Acts 1 to 2. After Jesus' death, he appeared for 40 days teaching the disciples about the kingdom of God. And he ordered the disciples to wait for him in Jerusalem. And he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and throughout Judea and Samaria and off to the ends of the earth. And then as they were watching, Jesus was lifted up and a cloud took him from their sight. So the disciples returned to Jerusalem, to the upstairs room where they were staying. Peter and John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas son of James, and certain women, including Mary, Jesus' mother, as well as his brothers. And all of them devoted themselves to prayer. And it grew near to the day of Pentecost, which was the Jewish festival of God's gift of the law at Mount Sinai.
Cuando llegó el día de Pentecostés, estaban todos juntos en el mismo lugar. De repente vino del cielo un ruido como el de una violenta ráfaga de viento y llenó toda la casa donde estaban reunidos. Se les aparecieron entonces unas lenguas como de fuego que se repartieron y se posaron sobre cada uno de ellos. Todos fueron llenos del Espíritu Santo y comenzaron a hablar en diferentes lenguas, según el Espíritu les concedía expresarse. Estaban de visita en Jerusalén judíos piadosos procedentes de todas las naciones de la tierra. Al oír aquel bullicio, se agolparon y quedaron todos pasmados porque cada uno los escuchaba hablar en su propio idioma.
Astonished, they asked, "Aren't all these Galileans who are speaking? How is it that we hear in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking of God's deeds of power." Everyone was amazed and perplexed, asking, "What does this mean?" Others sneered, "They are filled with new wine."
Alors, Pierre s'est levé entre de uns et d'une voix forte. Il dit à la foule, "Écoutez-moi bien, vous qui habitez la Judée et vous tous qui séjournez à Jérusalem. Comprenez ce qui s'est passé. Certains d'entre vous insultent que ces hommes seraient ivres. Pas du tout. Il est à pied 9 heures de matin. Mais maintenant, se réalise ce que va annoncer le prophète Joël. Voici ce qui arrivera, dites-le, dans les jours de la fin des temps. Je reprendrai de mon esprit sur tous les hommes. Voici le prophète Tesserant, voir Jean Jean par de vision. Vos villages par de son, se verront de révélations. Oui, sur mes serviteurs, comme sur mes serviteurs. Et ce jour, je reprendrai de mon esprit, ils profiteraient.
Am Himmel und auf der Erde werdet ihr Wunderzeichen sehen, Blut, Feuer und Rauch. Die Sonne wird sich verfinstern und der Mond blutrot scheinen, bevor der große Tag kommt an dem Gerechthalter. Wer dann den Namen des Herrn anruft, wird gerettet werden.
Romani di Israele, ascoltate queste perle. Gesù di Nazareth, Romo accreditati da Dio, presso di voli per mezzo di miracoli, prodigi e segni, che Dio stesso opera fuori di voi per opera sua. Come voi ben sapete, dopo che, secondo il prestabilito disegno, il prescienza di Dio fu consegnato a voi, voi l'avete inchiodato sui croce, per mano di un pia levato cesso.
And when the crowd heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said, what should we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sins might be forgiven, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for your children's children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord calls. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you, our multilingual readers. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we cannot imagine what it was like for all of those people gathered from around the world to hear you speak in their own tongue through ordinary people that they had never met. And we ask you that you would speak to us still, trusting that your voice lives on in the power of the Holy Spirit and has a word to speak to us this day. In Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. How many of you happened to be here last week for worship when our graduating seniors spoke? It was amazing. If you didn't happen to be here, you know, we have the audio of the services online on our website, and I really commend it to you. It was just incredible, just incredible. And our graduating seniors last week preached on the story of the road to Emmaus found in the end of the Gospel of Luke, when after the resurrection, some disciples are walking along the road, and a stranger comes alongside them and starts speaking to them in a way that they can understand, that unfolds the scripture. And as they break bread with him later, that's when their eyes are opened and they discover that it was Jesus all along. Jesus himself who was walking with them. What matters so much to me is the testimony that they gave, these seniors, that they, these seniors in high school, are able to point to those times when they feel the Lord walking with them, when they can sense the presence of the Lord, appearing, of course, not in flesh and blood, but present nevertheless. And it made me wonder. It made me wonder if all of us could say the same thing. So today, as we celebrate Pentecost, I invite us to consider this question. Where? Not even if, but where do we experience Christ's ongoing presence with us through the power of the Holy Spirit? I have to confess that sometimes I think that we have gotten so utilitarian, so practical, that we've stopped wondering about the Spirit's presence. We are so used to going quantitative. We stop wondering about quality, about feelings, about purpose, about even sacred surprises. If we can just reduce our world to measurable outcomes, what are the numbers on my student's ACT or GPA? What are the numbers on my favorite player's RBI? What are the numbers on my broker's ROI? What are the numbers on my body's BP or BMI? Show me the numbers, and I can show you my life, reduced to efficient acronyms. And then something happens. Something sweeps in that reminds us otherwise. Let me give you just a few on-the-ground examples from our own congregation. Last week, Chuck and Laura Carruthers learned that their newest grandson, little Elliot Joseph, was finally put into their kids' hands, adopted safely at 5 months. They posted pictures on Facebook. He is this adorable little cherub. And their pictures tell 1,000 words. The joy. The relief. The certainty at last that little Elliot was finally safely in his new parents' arms. How can you measure that? This week, on Friday morning, our young professionals heard Representative Bob Dold speak at our monthly Faith and Leadership Breakfast downtown. He shared the insanity of 15-minute by 15-minute scheduling, the events to attend, the lobbyists to listen to, the bills to draft, the behind-the-scenes meetings to negotiate. And then he shared with our young adults the privilege he felt to be pouring himself into this work, to resist the climate change deniers, and flex whatever muscle our country can in the Middle East, and work across the aisle, what a concept, to keep our country safe. Tell me, how do you measure that? And this week, Sue Dixon took me on a golf cart ride through the Skokie River Nature Preserve tucked behind Green Bay Road near her house. And she showed me acres of native trillium in their fading bloom and towering trees that are centuries old. We heard birds screeching joyously while the wind rustled and whistled through the leaves. And we watched her two old dogs run like puppies ahead of us, then bound into the creek to swim, emerging from the muddy water, baptized in joy. How can you measure that? Even dreadful things can wake us up to life again, shake the dullness from our senses, slap us upside the head with urgency. The phone call from a loved one that it's cancer. The morning news that covers a shooting far too close to home. The whispered confession of your teenager that he has, in fact, done drugs again. The sinking recognition of a goal not met, a deal that's failed, an investment that went south. Even terrible things can wake us up, can startle us to pay attention, to look up from the measurable certainty and wonder. Really wonder what this life is for, what really, really matters. However, the wake-up call happens, in joy or in sorrow, in energetic purpose, or the sudden recognition that life is short. However the wake-up call happens, I'm convinced more than ever that these are Pentecost moments. These are Pentecost moments when we hear the Holy Spirit come crashing or whispering into our lives still. As the psalmist said, the voice of the Lord is still stirring up the waters. The voice of the Lord is still thundering in the wind. The voice of the Lord is sometimes just whispering gently in our ears. The voice of the Lord urging our senses to pay attention. The voice of the Lord speaking to us in whatever language we need, in whatever way we can hear, speaking to us in ways that we can finally grasp, speaking to us in whatever native tongue our old deaf ears can hear. Doesn't the Bible tell us this is what happened in the first creation? That God spoke, and by that breath there was light. And God spoke again, and by that breath there was life. And God spoke, and by that breath there was human love. And God spoke, and by that breath creation sprung into place. And then God spoke and took a deep breath and saw that it was good and called that moment Sabbath. The moment in creation when God invites us just to stop and to listen and to pause to savor that miracle, that life, that world that God so loves. And what is the promise of Pentecost if not this? That God is still creating, still stirring things up with light and life and love, not once, but over and over and over again, still creating, still speaking in ways that we can hear, still getting our attention in whatever language we need, using our friends' voices and our family's voices and perfect strangers' voices and sometimes even our voices to speak that word of tenderness or encouragement or correction or second chances. And this is my heartfelt prayer for us, my beloved friends, that we don't miss it. That we don't miss it. That in our busyness or our preoccupation or our cynicism, or our doubt, or our fear, or our desire for concrete, measurable outcomes, that we don't miss the voice of God still speaking to us. Because you know what? I, for one, believe that the youth, those youth got it absolutely right. The Lord is still right here with us, still inviting us to follow him. Amen.